It was the women's 2004 NCAA Division II Softball National Championship Tournament. The St. Cloud University Huskies from Minnesota against the Angelo State University Rambels from Texas. In a semi-final match, after battling it out for almost seven innings, the Rambels were at bat. Angelo State was one strike away from losing, trailing 2-1 with two outs in the top of the seventh and on the brink of dropping its first game in the national championship. Angelo State's shortstop was at bat with full count. That's three balls and two strikes for those that are not familiar with baseball, softball. And runners on, she came up with the biggest hit of her life, smacking a three-run shot over the left field wall to help lift her team up to an unbelievable 4-2 victory over St. Cloud State. That hit caused the St. Cloud's pitcher, which was the National Player of the Year that year, to come to tears. Angelo State was down to its last strike on the batter. And the batter was not known for hitting home runs. As a matter of fact, she only had hit one that season, besides that one. She was in the lower part of the batting order. After hitting the home run, she jumped with joy. And after an interview, the coach said, "I jumped like if I was an 18-year-old kid." Angelo State went on to win the national championship title. That game is still talked about to this day, especially in San Angelo. The batter was not a well-known player, but after that game, yes, she was known. She had one thing that the rest of the teams had, and that was the desire. She was not going to let her teammates down. She was going to go down swinging. She had the desire to do her part right. Regardless of her batting record, as a team, they reached that level from the tournament because they all had the desire to win. Most of them had been playing softball since they were 6 or 7 years old. And you think about it, 19, 20 years old, that's 14 or 15 years of experience of playing under their belts. Now they're coaches, and a lot of them, I think one or two of them are ADs or athletic directors. But at that moment, that was their dream. Each player more than wanted it. They desired it. It was their passion. The title of my sermonette, brethren, is Desire. I'm sure that some of us have had a similar experience, only in real life. In the real life, in the ballpark of the real life, right? We've all had been facing a full count, two outs, and the winning run on base. Figuratively speaking, right? It's that one project that needed to be completed at a certain time, and you worked on it, and you had difficulties, and then all of a sudden you find yourself, it's just a very short timeline before the deadline. With sheer desire and determination, you finish the task. How about a trial? How about a trial? Example of death in the family. Illness, car troubles, but you have that desire. You are at a breaking point. but you still have the desire. Say, I'm not going to let this take me down. You are enduring that trial. But when you place a desire to go through it, you add emotional strength. You emotional strength to endure. Follow me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians, this is Paul to the Corinthian church in chapter 10, verse 13. It reads, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." Okay, so if we all, and we, some of us have had teenagers, you know, they come with a big problem, and it's like if they were had the only problem on earth. Well, this scripture says, no, you know, you don't have the only problem because it's not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. There's a saying in Spanish, Dios aprieta pero no ahorca. God, things kind of choke you, but he's not going to kill you. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Jesus Christ had that desire. But hold on a minute. What is the difference between desire and want? Desire is a profound, deep, and often emotional longing for something. Whereas a want is usually a temporary surface level wish or craving. You know, something like, I want a Whataburger. So much, the word desire is mentioned often enough in the Bible. So much for, in the King James Version, it's mentioned 109 times. But follow me again to Luke, to Dr. Luke, chapter 22, verse 15. Luke 22, verse 15. This is out of the King James Version too. And this is a prelude getting us ready for Passover, which is only a few weeks away. And he said to them, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." So Jesus Christ had that desire. That's more than just, you know, I want to be here with you guys. No, he had that passion. The definition again is this: a strong feeling of wanting to have something or wishing for something to happen. Jesus Christ had a strong feeling of wanting to share that Passover. I don't know how many times I've read that verse and it's just go over. But if you focus on the words, especially that one word, that has a lot of weight to it. We can use desire, also that is in the wrong ways, leave it to man, for lusting or coveting, right? And it says, "But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed." That's found in James 1:14. That's the bad part of it, right? Desire is a passion that has been used for evil. This world, for the most part, is being driven by emotions, right? You've heard how everybody's now has a feeling for something. That, as we know it, is not the way to make decisions. We know that. God shows the example. Unfortunately, that's a lot of the way it's done. Decisions based on emotions are erratic, and most of the times it's wrong ones because they're usually off the fly. Who is the author of this emotionally charged world anyway? And we all know it's Satan. The Bible portrays Satan as a fallen angel who rebelled against God and was cast out of heaven. One of the reasons for his rebellion is the desire to be like God. But why would Satan, who was already an archangel, that's pretty high up there, want to desire to be like God? And the answer lies in the nature of Satan's rebellion. Satan was not content. There's a Super Bowl commercial. I don't know if anybody saw it. And it showed little clips, you know, of different things. And it says more. And this shows this guy with a big house. And more. And the same guy with a bigger house. And some guy with a car. And then one car. And then two cars. And at the end of the commercial, when more is not enough, and it just shows Jesus. That's all it had, which was pretty captivating. Satan was not content with his position as an archangel and sought to exalt himself above God. That's found in Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15. And it also says that Satan was referred to as Lucifer, son of the morning. And it is said that he desired to ascend to heaven and be like the Most High. Satan's desire to be like God was not rooted in a desire for equality or respect, but was rather a manifestation of his pride and arrogance. He wanted or desired to be worshipped and adored for like God, and his rebellion was an attempt to achieve his status. This desire for power recognition is not unique to Satan, but is a common temptation for humans as well. Surprise, surprise. We often desire to be in control, to have power over others, and to be worshipped and admired. However, this desire is ultimately futile and leads to be our downfall, just as it led to Satan's downfall. God's way teaches that true power is in the commandments of God and in the plan of God and how it is laid out. To be examples, to be ambassadors, to live God's way of life, following in it with desire. Fulfilling that desire by serving others and living a life of humility and obedience. Brethren, fear God and keep his commandments.